The start of training camp is exactly 1 week away, and we preview it by continuing our position-by-position series. Andrew Mertig of PackersTalk.com joins the show to preview the quarterbacks. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the start of training camp, and to do that, we continue our position-by-position series here at Railbird Central. We have a guest joining us this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Andrew Mertig of PackersTalk.com. Andrew, how you doing this morning?
Very good. How are you doing, Brian?
Very good. I'm glad you could join the show and talk a little Packers football here before the start of camp. And let's dig right in here. Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about Aaron Rodgers. So first thing I want to know, Andrew, from you, will Jordy Nelson kind of magically be the missing ingredient that makes Aaron Rodgers better this season than last?
Sure. I don't think that he's suddenly going to fix all of the ills that were on the Packers offense last year. He is coming off an injury, and so I think Packers fans need to be realistic about what that means. We don't know for certain what he's going to be able to provide coming back. Certainly him and Aaron will still have that chemistry that they've always had. And hopefully, he comes back 100% or better than ever and is able to give him that go-to number one Pro Bowl type receiver. But I think they do have to rely on the other wide receivers stepping up, of Devontae Adams kind of getting back on track from his rookie year, of hopefully Randall Cobb moving back to the slot will help him out. I think all the receivers need to work on just getting open better. The scramble drill, which the Packers offense has always been known for, certainly was lacking last year. And I thought there was just way too much of receivers running their route, stopping, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make the perfect throw. And so that needs to be fixed. Hopefully Jared Cook will help to stretch the middle of the field, keep those safeties engaged. And I think the play calling needs to be better. And whether that was the awkward transition to Clements or McCarthy, there needs to be less having four wide receivers running 10-yard curl routes and then just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a tremendous play. They need to run more slants, more rub routes, get back to that kind of offense, more of the West Coast style to really be successful.
No doubt, a lot of moving parts for this Packers team. You talked about Jordy Nelson coming back from injury this season. Well, the quarterback himself is kind of coming off an injury, so to speak, himself, or a surgery at least. Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing golf on his surgically repaired knee this week at the American Century Championship. Does that instill any confidence that his knee can handle football?
Yeah, I think in a way it does. He told Bill Simmons that he's played golf several times this spring and summer, including playing golf with the president. How he got that arranged, I'd like to know. Last year it seemed apparent to me that something was wrong. Midway through the season, his footwork seemed a little off. His throws weren't as accurate as we've come to expect from Aaron Rodgers, and it's ridiculous that we have that expectation that he can put the ball exactly where he wants to on every throw, regardless of that's kind of the precedent that he set. No quarterback with the exception maybe Tom Brady, has better footwork than Aaron Rodgers. And something just seemed off. And I think having that knee sculpt, hopefully we'll clean that up. But the fact that he's out there playing, I don't think he's the kind of guy who wouldn't understand his own limitations. He's so reliant on his lower body, and he needs to be able to trust it. So no, I think it is a good thing that he's out there doing that. And it being so close to training camp, I don't think he would take a risk if it wasn't feeling 100%.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of curious, how much does Aaron Rodgers play during the preseason? Kind of what level of caution do the Packers take with, you know, their most valuable player?
Well, they should take the most caution possible with still allowing Aaron to get in the timing that he needs to. With all the moving parts, of course, you got a new tight end, a lot of young receivers, and so whatever it takes him to build up that timing with them should be, you know, the absolute maximum that they allow him on the field. I would think with five preseason games, that he's playing pretty minimally. Maybe a few snaps in the Hall of Fame game, maybe a drive. I can't imagine they'd play more than a drive in the second game. That third game, maybe transition him into a quarter. And then that fourth game, which would typically be the third preseason game, kind of the important one for the starters, maybe give him up to a half, and then I'd put him on mothballs for the fifth game. Certainly we're going to see a lot of the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A topic I've kind of avoided on this show for a while, the comments of Jordan Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers' brother, on The Bachelorette, the reality television show, I believe, on ABC. It's out there, so I guess I'm going to address it once and ask you a question and maybe leave it alone from there. I just don't like digging into the personal life too much about, you know, these what happens, you know, behind the scenes with these guys. But I mean, what do you make of the comments of Jordan Rodgers about his brother, you know, kind of on a national television platform?
Yeah, you know, I'm always excited to talk about celebrity gossip. joking, of course. No, I mean, first of all, I think you have to kind of take anything that's on one of those reality dating shows with a huge grain of salt. Because, of course, they're in it to try to get their show talked about as much as possible to drive the rating. And so certainly bringing in somebody with the fame and the name status of Aaron Rodgers is going to be big for them. And so, I mean, I kind of am hesitant about taking it too seriously. I mean, there's a lot of rumors out there, you know, that maybe Aaron isn't as close to his family because of Olivia or because of, you know, his status or maybe because of their personal religious or political views, and he doesn't want to seem to be too close to that. Overall, I don't think it affects him on the field at all. His teammates always say wonderful things about him, and it seems in a genuine way. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. He hasn't really been approached with that question by the media yet, and I would assume at some point in training camp, somebody's going to ask him the question. We'll know a little bit more about it at that point. But, you know, he seems like a very private person, and I would think that, you know, whatever the issues might be with his family, probably stay at that, but certainly I can't anticipate that affecting him on the field at all.
Yeah, I tend to think when he comes to training camp that question's waiting for him once he has a press conference and is in the locker room and a bunch of media are there. So we'll find out more then. We're talking to Andrew Mertig of PackersTalk.com here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Andrew, do you think Brett Hundley's preseason performance last season, kind of leading the league in touchdown passes, was that a fluke when he was playing against third-string players, or will he be able to replicate that performance this season?
Well, we'll certainly find out. I don't believe that it was a fluke at all. You have to beat the level of competition that's in front of you. And so that's what he did. He came out, he played great. Yeah, a lot of times it was against third-string players, fourth-string players, but he played really well in the position he was put in. This preseason will certainly be the preseason of Brett Hundley. I think there's two big storylines that we're going to hear about. Brett Hundley is probably number one, and number two is what's going to happen with the receiver group. And he'll have a big impact on both of those storylines. So he's going to have every chance to prove himself. We talked about how much Aaron Rodgers may be playing this preseason or may not be playing. And so Brett Hundley is going to get the majority of the snap, with the other two quarterbacks being very young. I would assume Brett Hundley is going to get a ton of snaps in the preseason. McCarthy is going to give him a chance to throw the ball because he wants to see how those receivers will react to that. Hundley is an interesting guy. I mean, he has all the talent in the world. In 2014, going into his last year in college, he was projected as a top five or a top 10 pick in the draft. And, you know, some factors played into him dropping all the way to the fifth round, but he has that kind of talent. Good athleticism, and not in the way that he's going to take off and be a scrambling quarterback, but he has the ability to kind of that escapability that we love from Aaron Rodgers. He has a good feel for the game, certainly a strong arm. Week four of the preseason, I sat down and watched every throw that he made, and man, he had a great game. Yes, it was against the Saints, and mostly their backups, and even the Saints starters aren't particularly great. But he found a way to fit the ball in on slants. He showed off his strong arm. He had a beautiful slant to Jeff Janis in that game for a touchdown, where he just absolutely muscled the ball in there. Showed good touch. He had a couple of fades, specifically one that I'm thinking about, Miles White, where he showed that, you know, he doesn't just have the big gun, but he can really kind of toss the ball in there with some touch. And as a side note, obviously you want to have a great backup quarterback. Health is a huge concern there, but also his trade value is going to be gauged by a lot of other teams. I would imagine there's a lot of scouts waiting to see what Brett Hundley can do.
All right, so bottom line, do you think the Packers can win with Hundley at quarterback should anything happen to Rodgers this season, knock on wood?
Yeah, I do. Maybe not in the long term, but if it's a two- or three-game stretch, or even maybe even a little bit longer than that, I think he can put them in a position to win. He think about what Brock Osweiler was able to do with Denver last year, keep them in the playoff contention, to keep them, to actually push them forward, to be able to get that top seed that was so important in their playoff run. He has all the weapons available to him, whether it's turning around and handing the ball off to Lacy or Stark. There's going to be talent at wide receiver and tight end. And he has a defense that he can rely on. I think Packers' defense is going to be in a position where they won't have to ask him to throw the ball 40 times a game. They would be okay if he had to take over, and he would be able to lead them, to some short term success.
For sure, for sure. Brett Hundley's the number two quarterback this year. The previous year was Scott Tolzien. Do you think the Packers made the right choice by letting Tolzien walk away in the offseason?
I do. I mean, if you're going to invest a draft pick into Brett Hundley, you have to give him the chance to show what he's got. And he should be the backup. Tolzien, to me, was never a quarterback who could go out and win you a game. He was a guy who probably could avoid losing a game. But even that's in question, because when he did get his chance, he made some questionable decisions. And so I think he was a solid backup, but Hundley has a chance to be one of the better backups in the league. And I think you have to kind of roll the dice and let him show what he's got. And whether that's, you know, to be a really great backup in Green Bay, or maybe to show off his trade value to some other teams around the league.
Yeah, not just investing a draft choice in him, but trading up to get Brett Hundley as well. Obviously, yep. We don't know about these guys too much at the bottom of the depth chart, but do you think Joe Callahan is destined to spend the season on the practice squad?
You know, I'm not sure. I think Callahan and Williams are going to kind of battle it out for that practice squad spot. What I see on tape with Callahan, he's got some good athleticism, kind of that escapability. McCarthy loves that. You know, you don't have to be a tremendous athlete, but to be able to step through tacklers in the pocket and you know, make plays on the move, that's a huge thing. I don't love his throwing motion. He's kind of got that big looping throwing motion that you see from guys that lack true arm strength. And I know Aaron Rodgers kind of had that coming into the league, and McCarthy was able to work with him on it and fix that. But I think, you know, that's certainly cautionary. That tells me that maybe he doesn't have, you know, NFL-type arm strength. He made some questionable decisions, and his competition was D3. So, you know, you take all the video you watch, not quite as seriously, because you know that everything's going to be a step slow. He has the potential to develop. He put up super gaudy numbers. And I think, you know, we'll see how that battle turns out. I would say that Marquise Williams is probably the favorite in that competition, but again, we'll see.
Oh, speaking of Marquise Williams, they inherited one of the best running quarterbacks in college football last season. Do you think that type of quarterback fits into the Packers offense?
It absolutely can. You know, again, you don't have to be an elite quarterback or an elite quarterback athletically to fit in really well in McCarthy's system. But I would say that it doesn't hurt. And if you are willing to keep your eyes downfield instead of looking to run first, you can be successful in it. And, you know, I look at Williams' tape, and I think he did that for the most part. Yeah, he could take off and run. He could run the read option. He had a lot of those skills. But many times when the pressure was put on him, I saw him go to a second check. Or sometimes even a third, which in college is pretty significant, especially in the offense that North Carolina ran. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he does have the ability. I think that's a good fit. And I will say, if you're going to pick a practice squad quarterback, having one with elite athleticism isn't a bad thing, considering the things, the types of quarterbacks that the Packers defense tends to struggle with. Think of a Russell Wilson. I think Marquise Williams could do a pretty good job of being Russell Wilson in practice for the defense.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Before we let you go, you write at PackersTalk.com. How's it going there? I see you wrote an article about Davante Adams, your most recent one published. What was that all about?
Yeah, things are going great. If you head over to PackersTalk.com, you'll see my latest article on Davante Adams. I've been making some bold predictions the last few weeks, and I'm thinking that Davante Adams is going to put in a huge year. My prediction is he's going to lead the team in touchdown catches.
Sounds good. We'll see. That is a bold prediction, especially with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb on the roster, but... this is the time of year to make that kind of stuff. Andrew, thanks again for talking to us this morning. Take care. Glad to have you on. Glad to have your insight.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Andrew Mertig of PackersTalk.com joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
You know, since our last episode of Railbird Central on Friday, there's not a whole lot of Packers news that broke over the weekend. Just kind of one thing I wanted to round up that I found a little bit interesting. Three Green Bay Packers players made NFL Fantasy Live's top 50 players of 2016. They were revealed on the NFL Network last week. So kind of this off-season initiative from NFL Network to provide programming. First, they revealed that top 100 list. That gets a lot of attention. But then when that was over, they did the top 50 fantasy players list. Just getting, you know, people ready for the start of, you know, for their fantasy drafts and things like that. So the three players that made it, first of all, kind of just interesting thoughts on these guys, I guess, that stood out. Here, Aaron Rodgers was the number one overall Packers player on the top 100 list, and yet he was the lowest rated Packers player on the top 50 list. Aaron Rodgers coming at number 31 overall. And, you know, a big part of, you know, a big product of that is just, you know, fantasy football quarterbacks are not quite as valuable as running backs and wide receivers. It's just the way it goes. Like, so many quarterbacks in the NFL can put up big numbers, but it's hard to find consistent running backs and wide receivers, especially running backs. So when you have a good one, or and especially two, that's huge in fantasy football we're talking about. So that's why Aaron Rodgers, you know, seemingly comes in low on the list. Just the value of fantasy quarterbacks in general, all of them. You know, obviously the elite ones like Rodgers, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, they're going to go high, but, you know, obviously the running backs and the wide receivers are, you know, more valued in from a fantasy standpoint. And then so the top two Packers players on the top 50 list, remarkably, neither of these players even made the top 100 list. So Eddie Lacy checks in at number 24. So, you know, not a top shelf running back, you know, coming off a somewhat disappointing season, maybe one of those second tier type of running backs in fantasy football. I mean, I think Eddie Lacy would probably be an ideal, like, number two back for your fantasy team. For a lot of people, he's going to be a number one back, kind of depending on how big your fantasy league is, but really good number two. And then the top Packers player, Jordy Nelson, coming in at number 18. So Jordy Nelson, top Packers player on the top 50 list, didn't even come in on the top 100 overall list. And again, you know, that top 100 overall list includes defensive players. Obviously, there are no defensive players in a fantasy football list. So, I mean, that's part of the reason. But again, you know, Jordy Nelson coming off the injury season, he kind of fell off the radar of the players who made up the voting. But still, it looks like the fantasy experts, you know, still expect him to put up some pretty big numbers for a fantasy wide receiver, and probably a number one at that in your fantasy draft. You'd be happy with Jordy Nelson as your number one wideout. Certainly would be nice to supplement that. But yeah, and so just interesting. You know, a few weeks ago we had Alex Gelhar of NFL.com joining us here on the show, and that's his job, is he's one of the fantasy football guys at NFL.com. And on his top 100 list, his own fantasy football top 100, Randall Cobb came in at number 48. And just in, that was Gelhar's own personal list. And then on the NFL Fantasy Live's top 50, Randall Cobb didn't show up at all. Just Nelson, Lacy, and Rodgers. So that's just a little roundup, I thought, of something that came out last week that, I don't know, at this time of year, right before training camp starts, I don't have a whole lot else to breaking news to talk about. So I wanted to round up that. And, you know, something I saw yesterday, Blake Bortles, appropriate here on the quarterback show, Blake Bortles reportedly sought out the advice of Aaron Rodgers this offseason from a, you know, a football playing standpoint, a young up-and-coming quarterback looking for advice. And so that I saw that at ProFootballTalk.com on Sunday. Apparently the original article was published by the Florida Times Union. But in the article, it kind of goes through, Bortles talks about the advice he got, and Rodgers told him, don't try to score 21 points every time you have the football. And that's good advice, because you can't. I mean, I think there are times when quarterbacks or teams, offenses in general, try to do too much, press a little bit too much, and know you just got to take what's given to you in football. And sometimes if that's just a field goal, it's just a field goal. And you just have to focus on, okay, you know, if you're down by two scores, it's going to take you 2-3 series to catch up. And you got to try to just chip away at a lead or something like that. It's hopefully you're not in the hole often, but you're going to be occasionally. And when it happens, don't try to score 21 points at a time. Good advice. I just found that, came across the old social media feed yesterday. Nothing huge news there, but an Aaron Rodgers related piece there at Pro Football Talk. And that leads us into the last segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers over the next, 24 hours plus or so, I don't have anything going on today, but tomorrow, so on Tuesday, Packers offensive lineman TJ Lang will be throwing out the honorary first pitch at the Detroit Tigers game at Comerica Park, so Major League Baseball game on July 19th. And Lang, of course, is a native of Michigan. It happens to be taking place during EMU night, which stands for Eastern Michigan University, which is not far away from Detroit at all. And that is Lang's alma mater. So he'll be representing the university, representing the Packers at a Major League Baseball game. He's talked about it. If you follow Lang on social media, he's stoked about it. Being a Michigan native, he grew up cheering for the Tigers. He's a big Red Wings fan. If you see that on social media as well. So, that's happening on Tuesday in Detroit. Like I said, for a Tigers game. So enjoy TJ Lang. We'll watch for you on SportsCenter. Hopefully you're not making the not top 10. Be like 50 Cent or whoever that was with the celebrity throughout the honorary first pitch. And it was like nowhere even close to home plate. it's a funny highlight if you want to Google it. But anyway, we don't think Lang will be that bad. But yeah, so that's it here. Like I said, in the run-up to training camp, they're laying low this last week. It's 1 week away. Today is Monday, and a week from Monday, players report. First day of training camp. The first day of practice is Tuesday, but players report for like meetings and stuff next Wednesday. So exactly 1 week away. We're really close. We're not far away. Be talking about more football content in just a week. But until then, that pretty much does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you so much to Andrew Mertig for joining us as our guest today. Thank you to you, the listener, for joining us as well. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could go to iTunes and search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Just give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps us get word out about the show, and that's what I want. Get this to the Packers masses and let fans listen to it and hear it. That does it, folks. Have a good Monday. Have a good rest of your week. We'll be back again on Wednesday. Already got our guests lined up. We're going to have Rich Ryman of the Green Bay Press Gazette, their business reporter, who appropriately is going to help us preview the Packers shareholders meeting that takes place this week. One of the last, pre-training camp events that really gets us ready for training camp. So we'll talk to him about that on Wednesday. Looking forward to it. We'll see everyone. Have a good Monday. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. Hey everyone, go Pack, go.